Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin, the podcast where all the voices of the adoption constellation come together. Twice a month, this podcast brings you conversations with adoptees, birth parents, adoptive families, and adoption professionals as they share their experiences and discuss all things adoption. We're glad you've joined us. On today's episode, Adoption Talk delves into the topic of LGBTQ+ family formation pathways, speaking with Brian Rosenberg, co-founder of Gays with Kids, about his family's journey, the reason Gays with Kids was created, and some of the exciting tools they are adding to support families. We also hear from Sophia Gardner and Lauren Jang of Spence Chapin about adoption pathways for LGBTQ+ singles and couples, as well as the importance of post-adoption support for all families. Let's get started.
Welcome to Adoption Talk by Spence Chapin. My name is Lauren Jang, and I'm the Senior Director of International Adoption and Humanitarian Aid at Spence Chapin. I'm happy to be joined by Brian Rosenberg and Sophia Gardner for today's conversation about the options that exist for LGBTQ+ individuals and couples for growing their families. Brian is the co-founder of Gays with Kids, and he and his husband are parents both through adoption and surrogacy. We're excited to hear about the resources and community of Gays with Kids, a one-stop destination for gay, bi, and trans dads and dads-to-be. Today, he'll be sharing with us about what pathways and options exist for queer men who wish to expand their families and become dads or become dads again. And also about the importance for queer dads of having a supportive community on your path to parenthood and throughout your parenting experience. Sophia Gardner is the senior manager of Spence Chapin's pre- and post-adoption services department, where she oversees family preparation, homesteady, and post-placement services. Sophia, welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you about the post-adoption community for queer men and LGBTQ+ parents broadly. So Brian, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to establish Gays with Kids and about what Gays with Kids offers?
Absolutely, but first, thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here with you. I love, big fan of Spence Chapin. So as you mentioned, my husband and I created our family through a combination of adoption and surrogacy. Our son Levi just turned 13. We picked him up from the hospital when he was 5 days old. And then he has twin sisters who are about 17 months younger than him through surrogacy and IVF. I can tell you that when we became that, there was no Gays with Kids. There was nothing online. There was really very little happening in the real world, I was gonna say IRL, to be able to figure out how do we do this? And it also became a full-time job for my husband. I had a full-time job. He was he was in school studying for his PhD. I ended up spending a year plus to just figure out what our paths were and our options are. And then it turned out we thought we were going to adopt a baby boy. And he was 3 months old when we met him. And that went on, going back and forth with his mom, went on for about 3 months. And then she decided ultimately that she wanted to keep her baby. And so then we thought we had to figure out a different path. And that's how we found out about surrogacy. But I'm HIV positive. I have been for over 30 years now. And so my husband then said, he insisted that if we did surrogacy, we would both, it only worked if we both could try it. And so he figured out how I could also get involved in that. So I think step one was just realizing how complicated it was for us to become dads, right? You never hear a gay man say, oh my God, I became a dad last night, but it's a mistake. And everything is so well planned and thoughtful and takes a long, long time. So step one, I just wanted to be able, honestly, after becoming dads, I wanted us to be able to share our experiences to make life, hopefully make it a little bit easier for the next guy. Then the second thing, I'd say I had a couple of epiphanies shortly after becoming dad. I mentioned to you that we took Levi home when he was 5 days old. What I didn't say is that we found out about Levi when he was 3 days old. So we got a call from our agency to say a baby boy was born in Brooklyn. We're living in Manhattan. And we took him home. But in between those 2 days, you know, my family was in Florida. My husband's Dutch, so his whole family was there. We had no one to help us out. And so I panicked. I remember going to Bye Bye Baby. And I said, okay, guys, it's going to sound crazy. Tomorrow we're bringing home a baby boy. We know nothing and we have nothing. And I could see the dollar signs go up. But we spent way too much money and about 3 or 4 hours of our day there. However, I couldn't help but notice that more than half the things, have labels on. I'm talking from accessories to clothing to toys to food to stuff that helps them develop. Have labels that said things like mommy tested, mommy approved, made with love for baby, from mommy, from one mom to another. And as nervous as I was that we were going to be bringing home a baby the next day, I remember looking at first saying, yeah, we're not supposed to buy this stuff. The second epiphany I had within just a few weeks, really, after bringing Levi home, it was like wherever we went, we had to explain our story. So with the pediatrician, with the daycare, at the parents of other babies at daycare. No, Levi doesn't have a mom. He's got two dads. We're a gay couple. And then it really, I'll tell you, when the twins came around and it was the five of us walking around in strollers and baby carriages, plus our little chihuahua, I'm sure we were quite the spectacle. But wherever we went, people wanted to know. And so I thought, my God, I'd love to just be able to connect with other dads, specifically gay dads, and just like not have to answer those questions. I already know like what's going on. And so that was really my initial ideas for wanting to create something for gays with kids, but it didn't happen for many years. We were in it, right? We have three little ones under the age of two. It wasn't until they were all out of diapers and eating solid food and pre-K or some other, you know, care, that I said, you know, now it would be fun to connect with other dads. And again, I still thought I could maybe do some good sharing my stories. And I went online and I was shocked. There was nothing. There was really nothing. And, you know, we had lived in New York City and then in Toronto and very little going on in real life. They like there was, you know, occasionally that the local center, LGBT center would host like a monthly drop-in, but it wasn't really to take you from step A to step Z. It was more like meet this organization, meet this parent. So I just thought, I gotta help other people. I wanna help them become dads and I wanna inspire them to become dads. And I wanna connect with other dads. And so eventually 8 years ago, I said, let's just do it. And reserved the name Gays with Kids, which was funny because it was a TV show that had just started 6 months earlier called Guys with Kids. Thankfully, it was very short, but it didn't even last the full season. And so I could go ahead with our URL, et cetera. So yeah, and here we are. And now we're really it. We're the only ones that do the full scope of helping LGBTQ men become dads through any path, you know, that we want to make sure they understand all the options that are available to them and then take them through whichever path they choose.
Incredible. So talk to me a little bit about how might a dad or prospective dad first connect with Gays with Kids. First off, is it nationwide? Is it worldwide?
So actually, we are global. We absolutely have audience from all over the world. So 8 years ago, we launched our website. And I know we've done a lot to inspire people to become dads. But it wasn't until about a year and a half ago that I said, you know, we need to do more than just inspire them. We need to, you know, so when I became dad through surrogacy, there were fewer opportunities. There were fewer agencies and IVF clinics that really catered and had special interest in helping the LGBTQ community build families, especially those of us who are HIV positive. For those of us who are HIV positive, I would say in the adoption world, you know, you guys have been around a long time, and the other agencies have been as well. But we started to introduce family building organizations that we had known through the years. And then it hit me last year that I still just introducing them random to family building partners wasn't enough. So we launched UWK Academy at the beginning of this year. And literally, I hope we become known as the very first stop in any gay man's journey to fatherhood. So the first, and we're about to transition. It's going to launch in an app. We're just applying with Apple and Google, right? June 30th, we'll send it in. And the idea is step one, what are your options? And so we'll take you through adoption, foster care, foster adopt, fostering, surrogacy, and IVF. What do they mean? How long does each journey take approximately? How much does it cost? What can you expect of the particular nuances involved or the challenges of each path? That, once that's done, then, okay, which path is best for your family? And we've got a whole curriculum of eBooks and videos, and you guys know because you're involved in all this stuff, so we're very grateful for that. And we've got, so there's eBooks, there's videos, there's emails. There's about 12 to 15 lessons, depending on which path you're looking at. And during that time, you will be able to go through this once the app launches at your own pace. In addition to that, we launched a mentorship program about 3 weeks ago. So we've got already about a dozen dads who have recently traveled through the same journey, right? Whether it's adoption, foster adoption, international adoption, surrogacy. And then so we can connect you with mentors, because I think that's so powerful to be able to talk to someone who's done it before you and also recently. And then we incorporate our family building partners. Now, we only have a small group of people like Spence Chapin that I call our family building partners. Again, we vetted them. We know that these people are experts in their field. That's indisputable. But what I want our community to know is not only are they experts, but they're as passionate as I am about helping gay men create families. And so that's my qualifications. If you have to meet both of those goals in order to be one of our family building partners. And then what I say to people is, look, you don't have to work with one of my family building partners. I do want you to take advantage of their expertise because it's within the GWK Academy content. Plus, they've all agreed to take a 30-minute free consult with you. And so why wouldn't you just ask questions? And they're doing it without any expectations. That being said, if you're looking to find great family building partners, I know you're going to be happy with any of them. Please connect with them if you want and don't. And of course, we tell people when they're interested in international adoption, naturally it's Ben Shaper. So that's how it works, is we connect, we give them the tools, the resources, and the connections they need to have the dream, so they don't have to deal with all the complications and confusion and lack of information that we had when we were going through our journey.
Thank you. And that power of information, of knowledge, can't be understated. You know, how you build your family, when you build your family, who supports you in building your family are such deeply personal decisions, and they're very intimate and they expose parts of your life that, you know, now you have to go through a self-exploration as well as having this team, whether it's a medical team through surrogacy or their partners, whether it's an adoption team, is going through this very intimate process with you as well. And so that power of knowing, where can I go? Where will I be affirmed? What are my options? Can really help folks feel that they have voice, feel that they have autonomy in this life-altering process and decision. We're just so thankful that Gays with Kids is there and is there from the very beginning of a person's journey. And the resources that you have for the multiple pathways are incredible. I just want to take a few moments to talk about if adoption is the pathway that a family chooses, you know, what can that look like? And of course, there are multiple pathways I want to talk about even within that category of adoption. And I just want to talk quickly about the ways that Spence helps not only queer men, but all LGBTQ+ individuals and couples in their path to family formation. And again, this will be through a lens of adoption, just because that is our place of work. But if you are exploring surrogacy or those other avenues, please stay connected to Gays with Kids. They'll point you on the right path. So in that broad umbrella of options for adoption, there's really two broad pathways. You can adopt domestically, you can adopt internationally. Each pathway is going to have different procedures. Broadly speaking, they'll be similar. You'll have an approval process, you'll have a wait process, you'll have a match process, but there will be nuances in the procedures, there'll be nuances in the eligibility, and importantly, there'll be nuances in the characteristics of children typically placed through those programs. So I think as anyone is exploring what's the right path for me, it's really important to start by envisioning, who is that child I hope to parent? Is it a newborn or an infant? Is it an older child? Is it a child with special needs? Because again, different pathways are going to lead to placements of kiddos who tend to have different sets of characteristics. So for families who are pursuing domestic adoption, Spence-Chapin has a domestic infant placement program where we work specifically with families living in New York and New Jersey for the placement of infants. And we've made that geographic limit in that program just because we really want to foster openness. We really want to foster an opportunity for adoptive families and birth families to maintain that intimacy of relationship throughout their child's development. And we also can provide home studies if you are pursuing what might be thought of as an independent or an attorney adoption. Sophia and her team provide training and home study assessment so that you can be approved, so you can go forward in that wait for a match. Domestically, there's also the opportunity to adopt through foster care. Spence doesn't directly facilitate adoptions through foster care, but I just want to acknowledge how important that pathway is. There are hundreds of thousands of children living in the foster care system, even awaiting adoption. And Brian, I believe the Dave Thomas Foundation is an important partner of Gaze with Kids. I see you nodding. So if that is a path for your family, that could be a really wonderful resource, the Dave Thomas Foundation. There are options to foster, there are options for adoption. Typically kiddos who are awaiting permanency, who've reached that status of eligible for adoption, might be children who are older, children who are part of a sibling group, children who have special needs. These are kiddos who need family the most. And then there's international adoption. And that's my particular purview of work here at Spence. And I do just want to begin by acknowledging that in international adoption, every country is able to set its own standards of what they deem as, quote, suitable. And if you could see me, you would see those air quotes around the word suitable, because it's so rooted in different cultural values and norms. Even legal structures in different countries. And we're happy to be paving the way forward for LGBTQ plus families in the domain of international adoption. So fortunately there are options. So Spence-Chapin places children both from Colombia and South Africa. Colombia is an incredible country in that its technical guidelines, its legal manual that oversees the procedures of adoption directly states that adoption by same-sex couples or gay or lesbian or LGBTQ plus singles has no adverse impact on children. What has adverse impact on children is living outside of families, and that we should not put a parameter on what a family looks like. We should assess the heart. We should assess the readiness and eagerness to embrace a child for who he or she is, and that that has no bearing on a parent's gender identity or sexual orientation. It goes so far as to say that, and again, this is in the technical guidelines, so I want to think about the magnitude of that, that a rule book of adoption, you know, the procedures, the how-to, takes the importance to highlight these things. But they further yet say that if anyone tries to put forth an argument that LGBTQ plus parents are inherently not in the best interest of a child, that that argument is wrong, and that anything that harms a child would be the bias, and that we need to really step forward and try to create a world that embraces all family types. So Colombia is a wonderfully open option. ICBF, Colombia Central Authority, is currently working with their first transgendered applicant, which is really exciting. And we've long worked with gay, lesbian, and bi individuals in that program. And then we also have South Africa. South Africa is a country that is open to lesbian, gay, bi, singles, couples. It is a country where you are going to be processed the same way that any family would be processed. Again, this is about how ready are you to embrace a child. It's not about the composition of your family. So in each of those country programs, you know, it is considerations on what age of child am I prepared to parent? What special needs am I open to? The two countries do look to find families for children who have various levels of special needs. I know we've mentioned HIV throughout today's conversation. In South Africa, that is a need that we see. I would say when we started the program in 2013, we were seeing that as a very prominent need. We do continue to see it. It can continue to be a great program for families who are hoping to parent a child with HIV. We are seeing it a bit less, but we continue to see many referrals of children who were HIV exposed, but did not contract the diagnosis. So I'm happy to talk at length with anyone about any of those options, but I just really want to set the stage here that the world is opening and we're going to be a part of making sure that options continue to expand for families. But I know that there's oftentimes a perception that international adoption is not an option for the LGBTQ plus community. And I'm really just happy to say that there are options and we hope that year by year, there are even more. Sophia, you know, we've talked a bit so far about the preparation for your path to parenthood. We've talked a little bit about avenues for parenthood. Can you talk to us a bit about post-adoption services, post-adoption community? Why do post-adoption services matter for all families, but particularly for families headed by LGBTQ plus parents?
Yes, yes, of course. Thank you, Lauren. And I, you know, as somebody who touches both the pre-adoption and post-adoption space here at Spence, I just want to reiterate that all of our services are open to LGBTQ families and individuals. And, you know, as Lauren shared, you know, whether you are pursuing domestic infant adoption, you know, using Spence Chapin as your placement agency, or are pursuing international adoption, whether it be through South Africa or Colombia or another country that's open to LGBTQ individuals, that we want to work with and support families in those journeys. And so that we, you know, are really ensuring that any individual or couple who's pursuing adoption, regardless of the pathway, has access to a home study assessment experience that is safe and supportive and affirming, because this is really the beginning of your journey to begin thinking about your openness and preparedness. And these are sensitive conversations that often happen within that assessment, and just making sure that our services are available to all, but are provided in such a way that are, you know, again, affirming and inclusive. So I think just to touch on that again, and then to think about our post-adoption services, I feel like Brian kind of set this up for me in talking about the importance of connection and community and being able to provide. So we provide everything from counseling, whether that be short-term or long-term, to therapy, to community events for children and families. We also have mentorship opportunities, you know, workshops and support groups. And everything that we do is held within this perspective that it is inclusive, and that we are understanding that you know, different members of the adoption constellation need different types of support. And so I think this is an area where we really thrive, because we know how important it is to provide spaces for kids and families who identify as or are in LGBTQ families to be around other kids and families who are like them. So we do provide, you know, fun and affirming post-adoption services. So we, you know, it might be that we hold a life book workshop for LGBTQ families. We are participating in Pride events. We are hosting family days or ice cream socials, specifically for adoptive families who identify as part of the LGBTQ community. And it's a beautiful thing to watch, because not only do we have the opportunity to support, you know, the growth of an adoptee and their parents and their family unit, but we get to give them, you know, through these services, the connection of community. And I think that, you know, that's a foundation of so much of the work that we do. I hope does that answer the question?
It absolutely does. Thank you. And I think what's kind of permeated today's conversation is this lifelong experience. You know, parenting is lifelong. It evolves. Kind of the unique and special journey that it is to grow your family with support, again, whether that's the support of an adoption agency, whether that is building a relationship with a surrogate, you know, this is a process where your journey is yours, and it's also joined by folks who really want to share in this vision of bringing you to parenthood and supporting you from the day your child is born or placed and beyond. So it's really great to hear about the ways that these conversations begin early and develop through, from the time of I'm exploring family formation to I'm on the path to family formation to now I'm parenting or parenting again. So thank you. Well, I really appreciate hearing from each of you today. I just want to maybe offer space for any words of advice or any messages you would want to share to anyone who might be listening today. And Brian, we'll start with you.
Sure, thank you. So here's what I, whenever I'm asked this, I always say the same thing, which is, if you want to become a dad, if you're thinking about becoming a parent, do it. There's no reason not to. Absolutely not. Especially, you know, to gay men of a certain generation like my age, where we just didn't even think it was a possibility. I feel so much happier knowing that there's a younger generation that's not a concern. But so I say, do it. And then it's really, whichever path you go on, probably the most important decision you'll make is finding the right family building partners. So please, just listen to my strongly worded suggestion that you find an organization that is absolutely an expert in what they do, and that they're passionate about helping you become dads as we are engaged with kids. And if you do that, you will very likely have a great experience, and you'll be well taken care of. And certainly in terms of adoption, the folks at Spence Chapin, that's where I would start.
Thanks, Brian. Sophia, what would be a last reflection or a word of advice or a message that you would hope to share?
Yeah, I would say a last reflection and some words of advice are to remember that nobody is expected to go into this experience of building a family through adoption and to know how to do it. And so it's okay to be unsure. And it's okay to have a lot of questions. And it's okay to revisit those questions and to revisit your considerations of your impact and your role. And that Spence Chapin exists as a space to be able to provide you support and the tools to navigate the unknowns and the pieces of this that feel that you might be unsure of, or that you might have questions about, that our role in your journey, in addition to hopefully providing you a community, is to give you the tools to be successful and to empower you to be able to move forward.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I think this, you know, my parting words, I want to both echo what you've said and then offer also be a voice, be an advocate for yourself. If there is ever a moment where you feel that you're being misunderstood, mischaracterized, or that you're being put through a process that maybe doesn't mirror processes of other families, that might not be the right place. You know, really be that voice, really make sure that you are understood and accepted and embraced for who you are at all points in your journey. And if ever there is a moment that that is not feeling like the experience you're having, please be encouraged to evaluate whether that remains the right organization, the right path, and also encouraged to voice what you need in this process, because this is your family, this is your future child, this is your lifelong process, and the importance of making sure that you're respected and valued through that. Brian, Sophia, thank you so much. I know this is the tip of the iceberg, but we are just excited to come together and continue these types of conversations.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Adoption Talk. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a rating wherever you get your podcasts. You can also head to spence-chapin.org/adoptiontalk to leave feedback, suggest episode topics, and sign up for updates on the latest episodes. See you next time.